Romans the 8th chapter, the 14th and 16th verses. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then the 16th verse, the Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Or one translation reads, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Those days they had candles and lamps. I suppose if we was writing that today in modern vernacular, we'd say the spirit of man is an electric light bulb of the Lord. That'd be as close as anyway. In other words, that just simply means that God will enlighten us and will guide us through our spirits. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I never have understood why folks didn't know this. Maybe I learned it early. Maybe I had an advantage. And I'm not talking about now. You see, sometimes people have said to me, well, yeah, you know things because, you know, you stand in the ministry of the prophet, but you don't know that even though you stand in the ministry of the prophet unless the anointing is there to reveal it to you. I'm not talking about, you know, the prophet. The Bible says the voice of the Lord, he would say, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Now, that's a different thing entirely. I know from experience, because I've been in both places, that's a different thing entirely. The word of the Lord coming unto the prophet, speaking to him, and the inward witness that we have in our own spirits, and the still small voice that we have in our own spirits, and even the Spirit of God speaking to our own spirits, a little more authoritative voice. I guess maybe I got started off and learned to listen as a teenager on the bed of sickness, learned to listen to my own spirit. And I can remember after I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and was excommunicated by the Baptist, I came over and accepted the pastorate of a little full gospel church in the black land of north central Texas. And I remember one day, now I was just a 21-year-old boy, you see. And I was over 15 miles away to another town. I was over there on business, and I went by to see the pastor over there. And I didn't know anything was up, you see. I mean, but he was loading up his furniture on a trailer that he'd rented to pull behind his car and was moving, changing churches. I thought maybe, you see, when I moved there, because they didn't have a parsonage, the church just rented a house. I thought maybe they was moving, you know, and so when I went by and stopped my car and got out, you know, and shook hands with him and greeted him, and I said, well, where are you moving? I thought he was moving somewhere else in town. He said, I'm moving to Houston, down South Texas, you know, down where Houston is on the Gulf almost. Well, immediately on the inside of me, I'm not talking about a voice, I'm talking about a witness. I knew he was missing it. But you don't tell somebody that's old enough to be your dad and you're just 21-year-old kid, you know, that you're missing it. Besides that, I don't want to assume that responsibility anyhow. Are you listening to? Now, I think a lot of times people have a witness and then they'll go tell somebody, the Lord told me to tell you. He didn't tell you to tell it just because you had a witness. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Unless the authoritative voice, I don't even mean the voice of your own spirit, the still small voice talking to you. Unless that authoritative voice spoke to you and told you to go tell somebody, now don't misunderstand me. Right on the other hand, I remember we were there. I was at a certain place and I went by to see a new church building, actually a revival center that this evangelist was building. He's an evangelist, all right, but he's still going to evangelize, but he's still going to have the revival center. He'll have other folks to help him. And you know, they just sort of got the wall, they're putting the walls up, and the steel's up, you know, and so you can tell something about how big it is. Quite a large place, several, 3,000, 4,000 people. And so he showed me through how it was and all, and I got in my car, and he got in his car, when the Spirit of the Lord said to me, now not my spirit, the Holy Ghost, almost turned to look in the back seat, see somebody's back there, said, you go tell him he's not going to live much longer. Now see, he said, you go tell him. He's not going to live much longer. Unless he judges himself. See, I don't care if you are a healing preacher and got miracles happening under you. You see, you've got to abide by the same principles all the rest of us abide by. I think some folks in the ministry think, you know, that God's got a different set of rules for them. I think sometimes, I'm sure of this. We used to have, you know, what we call the voice of healing, all the healing ministers of America together. So I'm sure of this. By talking to them, some of those evangelists felt like I'm so superior and I've become so spiritual, you see, that God don't require me what it does everybody else. But that's the reason some of them died prematurely. You don't judge yourself. Now, here's what he told me. Judge himself on love, first of all. Walk in love towards his fellow minister and fellow man. Second, judge himself on money. You can't just be in the ministry for money. You can't put money first. We've got to have money. Don't misunderstand me. But you can put the wrong emphasis on money and become covetous and greedy and miss it. And then third, judge himself on his diet. No, God don't want you eating like a hog or live like a hog either. Amen. I mean, divine healing is right, but you can shorten your life. Amen. Are you listening to? And yet, now, on the other hand, that don't mean that you go to the other extreme to get over here on all these diet fads and all, and trying to regulate everybody's diet, you know, and extreme on that thing. Seems like it's just difficult for people to stay out of the ditch on one side or the other. Let's go down the middle of the road. What do you say? Amen. Did you hear me? Well, the man didn't judge himself. In 3 years' time, he's dead. Now, on another occasion, I'm illustrating something to you now, you see. On another occasion, and that was the prophet's minister operating, you see. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to come back to this fellow moving in a minute. I haven't forgot about him. I didn't have any word. I had a witness, just like any Christian can have. Well, on another occasion, now the word, and I prophesied this, and I'll get into this when we get into prophecy, probably tonight, in its place. And God said in this prophecy that a certain minister who stood at the forefront of the healing ministry with the ministry of the prophet and so on, within 2 years' time would be dead. Told me exactly when he'd go. At the end of 65, before 66, he'll come, he shall be gone. He'll make a false step, I still have it. Satan shall destroy his life, but his soul shall be saved. The fruit of his ministry will follow him. He didn't tell me to go warn him, so I didn't go. I knew who it was exactly. I was preaching the convention with him, but I didn't go warn him, because God never told me to say a word to him. Just because I had that word didn't mean God wanted me to go. Are you listening? Now, Brother Gordon Lindsay said, you know, editor of the Christ for the Nation magazine now, three times during the next year, see that was 64, 2 years ahead of time that I had prophesied, but in 65, he was praying about, with more than one were praying, but Brother Lindsay and others, and a woman who was really a prophetess. And they were praying about their missionary work and praying about Israel. And suddenly she blurted out, go warn brother so-and-so, he's going to die. He's walking in the way of Dowie. Well, he let it get by him the first time. About 3 months later, they were praying about some of the missionary work. And suddenly she blurted out, go warn brother so-and-so, he's going to die. So this second time, Brother Lindsay bought an airplane, well, phone, located him. Said, I've got something to say to you. I don't need to say it on the phone. I must talk to you in person. Well, come on, I'll be here. So he got a round trip plane ticket at his own expense and flew to the place, and when he got there, he's gone. Somebody come along and said, just go hunting. So he went hunting. Up in the mountains, he's going to be gone 5 days. Well, Brother Lindsay can't sit there 5 days. And of course, he was just as natural. He's a great man of God, but he's still human like the rest of us. And you would have said the same, and I did too. He thought, well, dear Lord, if he's no innocent that, just let him die. I'll go home. And you just feel that way almost sometimes, don't you, huh? I mean, you got an appointment set up with a man, you see, and then he goes. Well, again the third time. In praying with these people, this lady who was a prophetess said, just spoke out loud, said, go warn brother so-and-so, he's going to die. Well, he phoned around, located him again, bought a plane ticket, round trip at his own expense, and he pretty well knew he was going to be there because he's in services speaking every day. So he got there, and he told me personally, he said, with tears, he said, I began to talk to him, and I saw he wouldn't listen to me. So I just said, well, it'll just have to be, then turned around and walked off from him, and within 3 months' time, he's dead. Somebody said, now God took him. No, God didn't take him. I'm glad he went to be with the Lord. See, we got a wrong conception of this a lot of times. I don't like to hear people say God took people. That makes God responsible. Some people got short. It's all right to say they went to be with the Lord. That's what the Bible said. They're going to depart and be with the Lord. But it's when you put the responsibility that God did it always. A lot of times, some people that listened to God would have still been here. Sometimes if they'd listened to the pastor, they'd still been here. I don't mean just some word he had. I mean the message that he preached. If they'd just listened to that word and live right, they'd still been here. Don't shout me down now. Just call some preaching real quick. Well, I don't know about you, but I want God's best. Well, now here was a minister. Here was a man that was prominent. Here was a man that was a prophet himself. But you see, he didn't listen. You can read through the Old Testament and you'll see sometimes prophets didn't listen. You know, friends, I don't care who we are. If we're an apostle, a prophet, a evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, in the ministry, out of the ministry, who we are, we're still living in a physical body, and the devil will try to operate through our body, the natural mind, and if we'll let him do it, he can throw us. And you are not immune to missing it if you're 90 years old. And you've got the devil to contend with and the flesh to contend with as long as you're in this world. Amen. A fellow came to me and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. I said, what for? He said that I won't ever have any more trouble with the devil. I said, you want me to pray that you die? I told him, well, you're not going to have any more trouble with the devil. Just die. Because as long as you're here, I mean, he's the God of this world. He's got a right to be here. Adam sold out to him. He took up Adam's lease. Till Adam's lease runs out, he's got a right to be here. But thank God through Jesus and through the name of Jesus, we've got authority over him. But if we don't exercise it, he'll dominate us. Can you say amen? Well, that's one reason that we need to be led by the Spirit. Amen. So, here I was visiting, as I said, went on business to this neighboring town, went by to see this pastor. He's got his trailer loading up. In fact, he just about got all of his furniture on the thing. Large trailer, pulling behind his car. These were depressing days. We didn't have so much furniture then as we've got now. And so, actually, I helped him put the last few pieces on because this little old kid was helping him. Got it all tied down, the tarp on it, you know, and everything, you know. And I knew because he had already told me, I've taken this church. And on the inside of me, just a witness, I don't mean a voice, I just felt grieved in my spirit. I just as we say sometimes, crestfallen, you know. Just I thought, well, I'm just 21 years old. This man's old enough to be my dad. Don't he know he's missing it? Don't he know that he's missing it? I'm not talking about now some revelation I have. I'm talking about just a witness of the Spirit that any Christian should have. Well, I remember we got everything loaded up. We got this tarp tied on the thing real good. Because he's going, you see, a number of miles. And, you know, if he runs into rain or something, you know. So and he's going to get in his car and take off, you know. Family, his wife's in place. He and I stand behind the trailer. Well, I shook hands with him, you know. And then he said something. You see, I wasn't sure of myself, just a boy, just 21 years old. And yet I kept thinking that. Don't he know he's missing it? Well, it's not up to me to tell somebody, now you shouldn't take that church or you ought to stay here. I mean, you know, I don't want to assume that responsibility, do you? Now, he said something, though, that convinced me I must be right. Now, understand, I was still in the learning stage. I'm still in the learning stage. He said, as we shook hands. And while he still had hold of my hand, he looked down at the ground. Did he look in the face? He said, "I sure hope I'm not missing it." That made me to know that he's wondering within his own self. Well, now that poor fellow missed it. Bless his darling heart. What all he went through. And about a year and a half later, he was never so glad in all of his life to get back to that church. But he did a lot of suffering. The church suffered. But you see, all of that wasn't God's fault. Someone said, "Yeah, but he learned a lot of." Yeah, he learned to listen to his heart. He learned he didn't have to do that. Well, I haven't digressed from the subject. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, he leads by that inward witness, first of all. Secondly, he leads by the inward voice. When I say inward voice, I do not mean now the voice actually of the Spirit of God talking to us. I mean the voice of our own spirit talking to us. We call it a still small voice sometimes. Now this inward witness is more of an intuition, or it is more of a spiritual perception. We made reference of the fact that Paul said in Acts 27, 9th and 10th verse, "Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive." Now he didn't tell them not to do it. He just told them the witness that he had or the perception that he had in his spirit. It's up to them then to make the decision. And in so many words, that's what I told that pastor, what I perceived in my own spirit. He still made the decision. He's got to make the decision. We don't make decisions for people. "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Now, I want to reiterate that Paul didn't say, "The Lord told me." He doesn't, it doesn't even say the Spirit of God said anything to him. He just said, "I perceive." Well, who is I? That's the real Paul, the real man, the inward man, the spirit man. He just, in other words, in his spirit, had this inward intuition, as we call it, or an inward perception, or an inward premonition, if you want to call it that, or an inward witness. And that's the way God leads all of us. Amen. Now that voice, that inward witness, it'll become more real to us the more our spirits develop and grow. Amen. Paul didn't perceive it mentally. It was not a mental perception. He didn't say, "I've got some kind of vibration. I don't like that vibration business. That's over in the psychic realm. This kind of vibration, that kind of vibration." No. No, you don't find that in the Bible. Are you listening to me now? Yeah. He didn't perceive it physically. But in his spirit, he had this witness. Amen. Well, that belongs to all of us. Amen. That belongs to all of us. The Holy Spirit abiding in our spirits must communicate with us through our spirits, not through our minds, because he does not abide in our minds. He abides in our spirits. That's the reason that you'll know things in your spirit that your head don't know. But we haven't been taught to listen to our spirits. And sometimes we're reluctant to do so. Now you see, one place where we've missed it, I won't reiterate, I keep going over some points because people don't get it because you said it once. And this is such a delicate ground until I just want to be careful in explaining in every area. But you see, the reason that we are continually, as Christians, as spirit-filled believers, missing it, making mistakes and failing, is because our spirits, which should guide us, are kept locked away in prison, so to speak. Knowledge of our intellect has taken the throne. And our spirits have been kept locked away. Any person, man or woman, who shuts their spirit away and never listens to it. See, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And never listens to it. The man or the woman who shuts his or her spirit away and never listens to it. Now listen to me. Becomes crippled in life. And becomes an easy prey to selfish and to designing people. There's a lot of selfish and designing people in this life. I was teaching along this line, and the lady minister pastor said to me, very, very beautiful woman, my wife and I had preached a meeting for this lady. I mean beautiful spiritually. She doesn't so much look at naturally, but a beautifully, beautiful spiritual woman. And in the process of time, we were back in her vicinity preaching in another church, and she came and visited, of course, and I'd heard about an incident taking place, so I asked her about it, because that way you're not going by hearsay, you got it firsthand. Certain individual that I knew, well, I knew that this, because not of some dealings I had, but some of my friends had it, I knew that this person, I hate to say it, it's a sorry thing to have to say, but everybody in the ministry is not honest. We ought to be. Amen. A minister should be, all of us, Christians and all, should be honest. But we ought to bend over backwards to be honest. Are you listening to me? We shouldn't be slipshod and half-hearted in our business relationships. The Bible said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Didn't it? Well, that means money too. Provide things honest. Do it right. And that means provide things honest in all areas of your life. Live right. An old boy said, live shotgun straight. Praise God, just as straight as a shotgun barrel. Don't deviate about it. Well, let that be as it may. Where were we now in our Bible discussion? Do you remember? Some of these side excursions helped us, though, don't they? You know, you can be unconsciously led of the Spirit and not even realize it. Remember, I was preaching one time. Well, I'll tell you where it was. I don't mind telling you. In Jacksboro, Texas. Month of December of 1950. The pastor had said to me, Brother Higgins, come to us. Their church wasn't so large as churches that I was being in. But he said, I tell you what we'll do. I've talked to the board. Said ordinarily, he hadn't been pastor there long. Said they say they take up an evangelist offering Tuesday night, Friday night, and Sunday night. But I said to him, now, Brother Hagin coming, and this is his word, not mine. Now, somebody of his caliber, we ought to do better. He said, now, actually, they say the most we've ever paid any evangelist is $90 a week, and I know you can't get by on that. But he said, so I said to him, this is take up. We'll take the offering up on Monday night for expenses. We don't have any expenses, much a little advertisement, little extra lights and gas, wintertime, you know. Electricity and gas wasn't as high then. It's very cheap. More you use, cheaper it got. And so he said, every other night, Tuesday, we had Saturday night service too. Every offerings, Brother Higgins. Now that's the agreement. Board agreed to it. Now here I'm preaching one night. Had nothing to do with my sermon whatever. Nothing whatever to do with my sermon. Suddenly, I stopped preaching. Run down off the platform. How come me to do it? I don't know yet. Run down off the platform. And sat down by a fellow, there's a little bench over on the side here, and he's on that bench. There's just enough room for me batted on the end without falling off. Not really enough room to sit. And I sat down by this fellow, and don't how come the two just looked at him and said, you know, some folks trying to steal my money. Yeah, that's what I said. Some folks trying to steal my I noticed he turned every color but white. I didn't know he was one of the board members. I didn't know who the board members was. I said, you know, they'll call them the Vandas, like me here, and said, now you can have every offering, except Monday night. And then the money starts coming in, you get $200 or $300 in, and the week's not out yet, looks like you're going to make $400 this week. 1950, that's a lot of money. And I said, some deacon will get together in the house, said, oh, that's too much money, we ought to keep half of that. I said, that's stealing. Just got up and run back up on the platform. The pastor after said, my God, Brother Higgins, that fella you run down there and sit down beside is one of the deacons. He called a meeting before church tonight and said, we ought to keep half of the money. See? I didn't hear any voice or have any, I just sort of unconsciously, you know, didn't know I was going to do it. Just suddenly inspired to do it. But he said, one of the other deacons that ran the finish stage, he said to him, said, why, brother, that would be stealing. We've already told the man, you get every dime that comes in. Yeah, I said, he won't know how much comes in, though. We'll just give him half of it and keep with the other half in the church treasure. He won't even know it. But one of the other deacons said, wow, that you just might as well come by my filling station tonight after church and with a gun and rob it. See, we need to be honest about these things. Say amen if you can. If you can't, say oh me. Whether we're preachers or who we are. We took up an offering here yesterday, but we put every single penny right where it's at. And that's one thing you'll find out about us. If you don't believe it, you ask any of our folks. It has to do with the money. The money goes exactly where it's supposed to go. Amen. Well, let's see if we can get back here to our notes here. I mean, we wander far here, but God has a purpose in it a lot of times, just like he had a purpose trying to help that poor deacon that's about to become a thief. Now, first of all, the inward witness. Secondly, the inward voice, which is the still small voice, or the voice of your own spirit speaking to your mind. Thirdly, the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, which is a little stronger voice, a more of authoritative voice. Sometimes it'll be surreal, you'll almost look around to see who said it. You'll almost think that it was audibly for a while. Now, as I said, the person who keeps their spirit shut away and never listens to it becomes crippled in life. The person who listens to their spirit is the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who climbs to the top. Now, this lady minister I was talking about. Remember about that now? So I asked her, because I'd heard about this episode. Here was an evangelist that was coming to town. He got all the churches and that he could to cooperate with him, and she was one of them. They rented the city auditorium. Thought it had a citywide meeting. Did have thousands of people there. But you see, this man... And many of them went to that. We don't have that problem because we've got a good record. We do put money down on auditorium sometimes. But here they required him to pay all of it first because he didn't have any credit rating. See, he'd gone off leaving people's auditorium bills unpaid, newspaper bills. And we'd run into that because others had done it, but we was able to present credentials that proved that our credit rating was AAA. And so he went through this woman's church. She was gullible enough. Some of the other pastors evidently felt a check in their spirit until their church, you see, was responsible for this bill because they don't have the money yet. Meeting hadn't started. He doesn't have money on hand. But the church has got a good name in town. So here they're responsible to pay $3,000 rent on the city auditorium, and then the newspaper ads, and he's got 2,000 to 3,000 people every night, and took up a lot of money and left town and didn't pay one single bill. Not a one. Not a one. Not a one. and left that dear woman holding about that, and that church holding about $5,000. Boy, that's a lot of money back there then. It'd be a lot of money now. It's a lot of money then. Well, it so happened that they were, you know, building gradually, because they were growing and wanted to relocate a building fund and had some $1,000 on hand. And to protect the name of the church, because here it's in their name, they went ahead and paid these bills. But here they're around, I'm getting in round terms, approximately $5,000 or so. Well, I said, now, I want to hear about this part. I heard that. I won't know if well, she said it's true. It's firsthand. But she said, Brother Hagin, if I'd have listened to my heart, if I'd have listened to my spirit, I don't mean a voice, just an inward check, just an inward witness, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have stood for that. Like I said, if we shut our spirits away and don't listen to it, we become an easy prey for selfish people and designing people. You see what I'm talking about? I'm just using that as an illustration. Well, I said, I want to ask you something else, sister. I said, I heard, you see, that you went and recovered your money. I glory in your spunk. Yes, she said, I sure did. Did I tell you exactly what it did? I found out where he was in another city, because some of them fellows would get out of that state in a hurry and get over into another state, you see. And so she said, I just got me an airplane ticket and flew over to that city, and I waited purposely, didn't nobody know I'm there, till the service is already going. He's on the platform, they're about ready to turn the service over to him, and I marched down the aisle, marched right up on, nobody asked me. But one of the fellows tried to stop me, one of the ushers, and I said, no, I'm going up there, I'm a minister of the gospel. I want to see this scoundrel. And I marched right up on the platform and just plopped down right beside them and said, I come after my 5,000. No, she said, no ifs and ands and buts about it. I'll take the offering tonight. I brought my attaché case along. You can just dump it all in there. And I'll stay around here every day till we get this all back. Well, now, sister, she said, when they say we're going to turn the church to Brother So-and-so, I'm going to take the pulpit. And I'm going to tell them what happened over in my town. And then on that, but I'm going to follow you from meeting to meeting. And every meeting you have, I'm coming and get on the platform and make the announcements. I glory in her spunk. Amen. Amen. It ought to be so. And stop a lot of this stuff. Well, needless to say, they took the offering. I mean, the offering that they'd already taken up, really, that night. And in the buckets, you know, they use buckets like we got here. They dumped all of it in her attaché case. And she counted out, had over $2,000, about $2,500, that one offering. So she waited the next night and got the next one. And then went home. Maybe that'll teach you a lesson. Well, he said, I believe I'll do better. Well, that's good. I'm glad I hope he did learn his lesson. I hope he did learn his lesson. But here's the point I wanted you to make. I thought you might be interested in a little of the side issues. But she said, Brother Hagin, if I'd have listened to my spirit, I don't mean a voice. I don't mean even a still small voice, or even the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to me. I just mean an inward witness. I just mean a check in my spirit. Just a check in my spirit. I wouldn't have done that. You see, if we had listened to an inward voice or an inward witness or an inward intuition, there's a lot of things we wouldn't have done that we have done. I mean as individuals. We wouldn't have done some things. I know myself where I'd have lost money. And somewhere other on the inside of me, I didn't have a voice, but I just knew on the inside of me I oughtn't to do that. So how come you to do it? Well, how come you to? Amen. See, sometimes you've got to answer questions by asking a question. See, how come you do it? Well, how come you to? Is that right? Somebody said one time, said, how come you, a man of faith, wears reading glasses? I said, well, I'll ask you, how come Elisha, a prophet of God with a double portion of the Spirit on him, was bald-headed? Huh? Did you ever read that in there? Yeah, it's in there. Do you remember those kids called him old bald-head? Remember that? Sure. And he's got a double portion of the Spirit of God on him to stand in the office of the prophet. Double portion of what Elijah had, and yet he's bald-headed. Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you can answer that, I'll tell you why I wear reading glasses. Huh? No, you see, the answer is simple. The outward man's not redeemed. I don't have any eye illness or disease. It's an aging process. I'm not as young as I used to be. Don't run like I used to, do you? My reflex is not as good as it used to or yours. So my eyes don't focus as fast as they used to. It isn't a matter of divine healing. It's a matter that I'm 60 years old. Wasn't a matter of the power of God on this man. Well, that prophet Elisha that was bald-headed had enough power left in his bones after he's dead and buried to raise a young man from the dead. Remember, they put that young fellow in his tomb, in his sepulcher, and he revived. Why didn't he grow hair on his head? Because he's not supposed to. See, we get so stupid about these things. The outward man is decaying. Thank God the inward man's being renewed day by day. Now, when he gets his new body, he'll not be bald-headed. Won't be anybody be running around and holler over bald-head anymore. Now, get my new body, I won't need these reading glasses. I can see here, all right. I don't need them here. There's plenty of light. But I get in some places, I do. So I have them in case I do. You're still out there? You're gone home. Now, here's the difference. First of all, he leads by the inward witness. Second, he leads by the inward voice. Let me finish what I was about to say and reemphasize, and then we'll go on to this. The person, the man or the woman who shuts their spirits away and never listens to it, becomes crippled in life and becomes an easy prey to selfish and designing people. The one who listens to their spirit is the one who climbs to the top, because God will guide you through your spirit. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord. Now, why was this woman, pastor, deceived by this big shot evangelist, so to speak? Because she didn't listen to the inward voice. Or not voice, just the inward witness. An inward check. She wrote over that. She wrote over that. We ought to have enough spirit perception. I'm not talking about Holy Spirit, our own spirits, to know some things. Not be taken in just by any and everything that comes along. Are you following me? Or are you? See, I don't want to get on the negative side, but on the other hand, you have to discuss things. Because if you don't, you're liable to be taken in like some of these folks that we spoke about. Now, the inward witness, well, I just knew that by the inward witness. Or like Paul said, I perceive. Then there is the inward voice. Then there's the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And when he speaks, It may at times be an inward voice, but it's a little more authoritative. And then again, it's so real that you almost look around and seem to think that somebody said it. Now here's an illustration that we'll look at. You know because you know your Bible. We don't have to turn and read it. But you remember the story of Samuel and Eli? Remember, Samuel was just a boy, you know, and he heard a voice say, "Samuel, Samuel." Well, to him, it had to be audible because he run in there to ask Eli, you know, what he wanted. You know why he's calling him. So therefore, to him, but it couldn't have really been audible because Samuel didn't hear it. I mean, Eli didn't hear it. Samuel did. See? He said, "No, I didn't call you." But now, Eli's a prophet too, but he's missed it. Got out of fellowship with God. And so he went back to bed, you know, and directly he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel. He got up, run in there and asked Eli what he wanted. Remember the story? Well, I think this second time Eli began to realize that perhaps God's speaking to him. So he said, the next time you hear the voice, answer it. He didn't have that much knowledge to sense to tell him. And so the next time that the voice called, Samuel, Samuel. Now, as you see again, that to him was audible, evidently. It had to be, because he thought Samuel was calling him. And the next time he answered it, and you know God spoke to him then. Isn't that true? Now, you see, what I'm establishing is that there is the inward voice that's a still small voice, that's the voice of our own spirit that's passing information from our spirit, that our spirits have picked up from the Holy Spirit in us onto our mind. But then there is the voice of the Spirit that speaks with more authority.
Amen.
That speaks to us.
Amen.
That speaks to us. Now, for instance, here's an illustration. In the 10th chapter of Acts, in the 10th chapter of Acts, you have your Bibles there. Turn with me. You see, you can expect the Holy Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Well, you can expect the Holy Spirit to lead us just like he did people back here. He's the same Spirit, isn't he? He works the same way that he did then. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, here's the story, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read the 10th verse first, and this is talking about Peter, you know. With the ninth, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And then it goes on to tell about this vision that he had. You understand, God was showing Peter that he's going to bring the Gentiles in. Don't you call unclean that which I've cleansed, and so on. Now, after the vision, notice this 19th verse, while Peter thought on the vision, while Peter thought. See, he don't know yet. He's thinking about what he's seen. What does it mean? See? The Spirit said unto him. Now, that's not just the voice of his own spirit. It didn't say he perceived. Notice it said about Paul. Paul said, I perceive. That was just his own spirit that picked that up and knew that. See? His spirit didn't say it to him. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Hallelujah. The Spirit said that to him. But how did he say it? That's a good question, isn't it? Where did he say it? Well, he said it right there because Peter was there. But where was the Spirit? Well, he was in Peter. I'm sure that that was spoken in an authoritative manner on the inside of him. It could have been, as it is with me, surreal sometimes till you almost look behind you and see who said it. Now, sometimes I know with me, and I'm still not talking about the prophet's ministry now, I'm talking about being led to the Spirit that belongs to all of us.
Amen.
To me, it's just more of an authoritative voice on the inside of you. I remember I was preaching over here way back in 1964 over at Cushing, Oklahoma. I'd been here in Sheridan Assembly in the fall, and in February I was over there, February of 1964. Well, we didn't in those days always have healing services every Saturday night. Every night, in fact, we didn't. We had a healing service or two during the week, particularly when we were in churches. And this was a different type of service. We'd had people come to be saved, people come standing down here to be filled with the Spirit. We'd had, maybe 20, 25 people come. So then I asked the church to come. Believers come and stand with these people, and we all gonna just pray out right out here together, all of us, you see. Everybody wanted to see these people saved, filled with the Spirit. You know, some believers stand by and pray with them, you know, and so on. Now, while I was preaching, I saw a man and a woman come into the building. I didn't know them. See? Well, something on the inside of me said, I guess it was my own spirit that perceived it, that's Brother Russell Olson from Minneapolis. And I remember, I'm preaching now right in the middle of the sermon, and I remember I thought, oh, that's stupid. What in the world would he be doing down here from Minneapolis, down here in Oklahoma in the middle of the winter? You know, that's stupid for me to even think such a thing. And just went on, finished my sermon. Then when I asked Christians to come and stand with these help, then I asked every Christian in the house, every believer to come and stand with us here. He and his wife came and stand there, and we prayed together. Prayed with these people, you see. And some of the Christians went and sat back down. Some of them just right away was filled with the Spirit and saved. Others, were they were praying with them. And off the service about over, and I sat back down here on the platform, and the pastor's talking. And and while I'm sitting there now, a more authoritative voice spoke to me. The first, it was just my own spirit that said that. I know the difference, because it's more of that still, small voice, see? In other words, I almost looked behind me to see, and yet I knew there wasn't anybody sitting behind me, because I'm the only person on the platform besides the pastor, and he's up in the pulpit. It's just like somebody stand by and said, that's Brother Russell Olson. And I remember I said, you know, not out loud, because the pastor's talking, I said to myself, you know what I mean by to myself, said it within myself, now that couldn't be him. See, I'd never met him. That couldn't be Brother Russell Olson. I mean, what in the world would I'd heard of him be doing down here in a little town of Cushing, Oklahoma, in the middle of the winter? You know, I said that couldn't be so. Well, this voice, authoritative voice, said it is. And you watch it. As soon as the benediction is offered, he'll make a straight beeline right to you and ask you to come to Minneapolis to preach, and I want you to go. Well, I said, all right, I'll believe it when it happens. I still didn't believe that. I couldn't believe that he'd be down in Cushing, Oklahoma. How would he know I was out there anyhow? See, because I didn't have any paper I put out then, no schedule of services. I told anybody where I was going. I mean, just had to be word of mouth. I know what he'd be doing down in Oklahoma anyhow. So I said, all right, I'll just watch and see then. That's what he said, you just watch. Several times he said to me, in fact, sometimes Spirit of God will get a little smart with you. He said, just watch it, smarty. Yeah, he will. Said, you just watch it. And I watched it. I never did shut my eyes. You know, the Bible said watch and pray. Just kept my eyes open, you see. As soon as the benediction offered, that man walked right to me, stuck his hand out, and said, I'm Russell Olson. When he said that, I thought to myself, you dummy. I'm from Minneapolis. I said, yeah, I've heard of you. He said, I've never met you, but I've heard of you. I said, well, I've heard of you. He said, but they can only ask you something. I said, yeah, I know what it is. And my answer is yes. He said, when can you come? I said, when do you want me? He told me. I said, I'll be there. Praise God. As many as are led. Every time I read that verse, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, their sons of God, I think about that incident. Amen. Brother James Thompson over here from Fort Worth, Texas, his dad pastor of Faith Temple in Fort Worth. I was way back in 1960. About the only time I'd take off, Christmas time. And a lot of time I'd lie on my bed and meditate. See, you've got to get quiet to hear what your spirit's saying. And so, as I was meditating, a lot of times as I'm lying there meditating, the Spirit of God will bring to me, and then we get over into the word of knowledge here, all right, and the word of wisdom as well. But after all, the Spirit's in us. And sometimes he'd show me where I was going. I'd sometimes see it in the Spirit. Sometimes I'd just know it. Sometimes there'd be a voice of a year or two ahead of time. And I'd just sit back and let him work it out. I didn't tell somebody God told me to come. And God dealt with me about going to Fort Worth to Brother Thompson's church. Well, I knew Brother Thompson, but I didn't know him that well. And I'm not going to tell him God told me. But anyway, he showed me that that very afternoon a man would come who had a church in the suburbs of Fort Worth. Now, you see, I got January dated up. I got February open. I got March dated. I got April dated. I got May dated. I got June dated. Somewhere or another, I couldn't get clear. See, if I've got a check in my spirit, But see, this was 1659. The Lord had appeared to me out there at El Paso and said, learn to follow my spirit, you know. Learn to follow that inward witness. So every time I decide maybe I'll go here, I'd have a check about it. I don't mean a voice, just a check, so I wouldn't date up. You know. Stoplight, so to speak, in the spirit. Stop sign. So I saw this man would come, this pastor would come that very day. So 10 o'clock that morning, knocked on my door and said, Brother Ingram, I was over here, you know, told me who he was over there to see and so on. I thought, run by, say, I know you're real busy, but I sure would like for you to come preach for me sometime. Well, I already knew that morning at 8 o'clock on my bed. Because Spirit already told me, see? And so I said, when you want me to come? Oh, I know you're dated up, but I sure would like to have you in February. I said, I'll be there. He said, see, now we're talking about here about almost the 1st of January now. See, right at the end between Christmas and New Year's, you know. He said, I said, yeah, I never could get clear on. I kept that open. I still didn't tell him what the Lord said to me right then. But I said, how long would you want me to stay? Well, he said, man, I'd like you to stay at least 3 weeks. I wish you'd stay the whole month of February. I said, I can. I got it open. I will. And so I did. Now, while I was there, you see, I knew God had, in the spirit, I could see that he wanted me to go into Fort Worth here, see. Well, I guess Brother Thompson was reading some of those services. But then I also, I remember I drove around some the daytime. I drove by his church. I started to go in and talk to him, see. But I didn't. I just stayed away from him. And it didn't work out. But I remember I finally said, well, I guess I just missed it on that, and I want to show you something now. So I was preaching Full God Business Men's Convention down in Houston. Brother Thompson was there, James' daddy, you know. And after teaching one afternoon, I'd started out, and he stopped me and said, Brother, when could you come to me? I said, when you want me. I said, I sure would like to come in September. This is July. I'm dated up everything but September because I haven't got a clear thing in the spirit. I said, I can come. I'll be there. Can you? I said, sure I can. Yeah, I can arrange it. I said, I haven't got any clearance yet till now. See, I didn't have to stop and tell him because I'd had this clearance for a couple of years or more. And so he said, you know, Brother Hagin, he said, I guess for the last 2 years or more, he said, several different times I've started to ask you. And see, he had it in his spirit too. But I thought, well, he's busy. See, I'm pointing out how we miss God, all of us, as far as that's concerned, you see. Because we don't listen to that inward something, you see, an inward witness. And he said, I started to ask you a time or two. But I thought, well, you know, he probably couldn't come. And I like to miss it again this time. But I just thought, I'm going to be brave enough just to ask him. See, would you come? I said, yeah, I'll come. When you want me, yeah. And he said, man, this worked out perfect, didn't it? Well, praise God. You see, we did get there eventually, but we could have been there sooner, you know, under the plan of God. And so we need to understand how these things work. Hallelujah. And just because you made the mistake, don't quit, because if that's so, well, you'd quit living. You don't quit physically because you made a mistake. Because you got up in the night time, somebody's knocking on the door, and you stumble over a stool and fell down, you don't lay there, you get up and go on to the door. Just because the telephones are ringing, now and then we have them by our beds, but used to, you know, just have one phone in the house. That's about all. And just because the telephone's ringing away in the night, you get up and you don't bust your shins on something, or stub your toe, you don't quit just because you stubbed your toe or busted your shins, do you? Keep going physically. Well, spiritually, just because we busted our shins or stubbed our toe, we don't quit. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.